Welcome to Growing International, where you hear from educators like yourself, students, and experts in the field of international education on how to grow your study abroad programs and internationalize your campuses. I'm your host, Jody Littleton, a professor of communication and a study abroad coordinator for Parkland College. I couldn't do this show without the support of Parkland College, a community college located in Champaign, Illinois, as well as the Consortium of International Studies and Programs and the Community Colleges for International Development. Whew! With all that out of the way, let's get started. Hello, everyone. Jody here. This next podcast is actually an excerpt from a Zoom conversation that I had with Kevin from the Study Abroad Association. So basically, I was exploring the idea of working with Kevin on some different things and was just gathering information. And I asked him if we could record this and use this for the podcast, and he graciously said yes. So this is an edited version of our conversation. I did take out some of the boring bits that are talking about Parkland and what I want and all that good stuff. So mainly just kind of a summary of what Kevin talked about as far as what his company does and what they have to offer. And I hope that it's helpful to you and maybe you can use this information as well. So you're not going to hear the normal introductions. I kind of edited it, so we're just going to jump right in, and Kevin is going to start out by introducing the company and telling us a little bit about who they are and what they do. So let's get started.
Study Abroad Association. And we're still fairly small. We started 12 years ago, and we have about a dozen employees. So small but growing, and we historically have a pretty big presence in Oklahoma and Texas, since formed in Oklahoma, and also kind of up and down the East Coast, because that's where some of our first staff and university partnerships took place. So we're expanding the Midwest to the West, and that's actually a goal of mine, is trying to identify, you know, strong partners in those regions. And over half of the schools we currently work with are two-year colleges. It's a partnership that we find works really well. So that was in part what motivated me to reach out to you as a study abroad coordinator at a two-year college.
Tell me a little bit about what you guys do. It sounds like a lot of short-term study abroad.
Exactly. Yeah. So short-term faculty-led programs are kind of our bread and butter. That's what we've been doing since our founding. We've done programs in about 35 countries to this point in over 15 different subject areas. So we work with schools to develop the programs and then to handle the kind of on-ground logistics during a program. We've had a lot of success, I think, where we kind of fit into the broader field and space is because we are small and we're flexible and we're nimble, so we can truly customize programs. You know, I think everywhere says that they can customize, and they can to some extent, but this is one of the first places I've worked where that truly is, you know, we live that every day and developing. And then also our price point, I think, works really well, especially for community colleges and technical schools where cost is kind of front of mind for many potential participants.
That's always a big barrier for students, is cost. So that's great to hear. Just to give you an idea, what are some of your success stories, or what's some examples of some work that you guys have done that you think kind of exemplifies your company?
Yeah, great question. I think it's overall our commitment to the academic goals of the program. Anytime that we start discussing a potential program with a partner, the first thing we're going to ask for is, you know, either a syllabus or learning objectives or some kind of academic guidelines, what the faculty member is hoping for their students to get out of the program, and then building an itinerary around that. Not just going to the Eiffel Tower or the Colosseum, but building in, you know, whether it's a local business visit or a guest lecture with a university professor in country, building in activities that directly relate to the program goals. And of course, you will still go to the Eiffel Tower because your students want to, and that helps you, you know, drum up interest in the program. But we know that academics and should are front of mind for our partners, and therefore they're front of mind for us. And so I think the strongest programs we've done, you know, whether it's STEM in Germany or art history in Italy or cultural studies in India, all kind of came from really strong learning objectives provided by the institution that then we were able to build on top of.
One of my personal interests, because we are a community college and we do have a lot of technical programs, I'd really love to try to draw in more students that don't typically think of study abroad. So not the ones that are maybe transferring to a four-year college. They're two-year students who are doing in the automotive program or in the nursing program or in the veterinary technician program or the manufacturing program. Do you do any work with those areas, with those fields?
Yeah, absolutely. We've done a number of different STEM programs, different types of engineering. We've done aviation programs, solar energy, all different kinds of areas. And then in the health professions, nursing is a big one that we've done a lot of. Environmental science is really strong and sustainability, kind of green energy, things in that area. So those are fields that do kind of, as you mentioned, appeal to more of the non-traditional student, not the student who's enrolled in International Studies 101, which, you know, we have opportunities for them too, of course, wanting to broaden that field.
Great. I mean, that's really interesting. I mean, anybody that comes to you and says, hey, I'm teaching geography or I'm teaching psychology or sociology, you can build something around their classes or what they want.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got our network in 30 plus countries, and we can kind of consult and see what's possible. And, you know, we're of course not afraid to say no if we don't think that we can do something, you know, successfully. We'll let you know that so that you can, you know, seek other partners. But one area where I think we really excel is if the faculty member is somewhat flexible when it comes to destination. So let's say they're teaching, you know, an engineering course or psychology course, whatever it may be, and, you know, send us their syllabus, their objectives, and then we could maybe recommend two or three locations where we think would be a really strong fit for what they're teaching. So I think when you have that flexibility, you end up with a really strong program. Of course, you do have some faculty members who have their heart set on Spain and they want to take their students to Spain, and you work within that, you know, and if Spain's possible, awesome. But yeah, I think that added flexibility when it comes to location, you know, can be really helpful.
Typically, how long does it take for the whole planning process? I mean, what's kind of a typical timeline for you guys?
I say we typically start developing our program at least 9 months in advance. You know, it could be 18 months in advance. It kind of depends on the school's timeline. But I think with at least 9 months, that gives us enough time to, you know, A, determine what's feasible for that particular subject, and then B, kind of develop the program. So there's a pretty long, well, it doesn't have to be long, but there's a back and forth process with the school where we'll come up with an initial itinerary, go back to the faculty, they'll say, yes, these eight activities are great. These two, what are the alternatives? Kind of tailoring from there. Can also tailor based on other things like cost. So, you know, if we quote $2,700 per student and you are really hoping to keep it at $2,500 per student, okay, going back to the itinerary, can we change this from a full day to a half day? Can we swap this activity for this one to work within your guidelines? So I'd say that process of back and forth can take anywhere from a week to 6 weeks, depending on, you know, how involved the faculty member wants to get with that.
I do have some faculty who I have one in particular that's really interested in keeping costs down for the students, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. They take students to Japan, and that's very, very expensive. Yeah.
Absolutely. And we do offer a scholarship for any 2-year colleges. For every 10 students that enroll, we do offer a $500 scholarship. So that can also be beneficial in reducing cost. And we do organize group airfare for institutions that are interested. We can often get pretty good rates on that. But again, it's optional. So if you'd prefer to organize that for your students or have them do it themselves, that's totally fine by us.
Typically, it sounds like maybe the trips are 10 days, 2 weeks.
I would say 10 days is just about the average. We've done things as short as, 7 days, maybe if you're going to somewhere in Central America or something, a little easier to travel to. But I think, that 10 to 14 day range is where the majority of our programs fall. Occasionally we'll have, the 3 or 4 week programs that are a little bit longer, but 10 to 14 days is kind of the sweet spot in terms, especially for community college students, both in terms of cost and in time. A lot of them are working, they're caretakers. They don't have 3 to 4 weeks to get away, but maybe they could swing a 9-day program, something like that.
Do you do a lot of winter break as well as spring break and summer mainly?
Yes, definitely. I would say May is probably our busiest. May and June are busiest time, followed by March, followed by January. We do programs year round. So every once in a while, an institution will say, hey, we'd love to travel somewhere in October. That works great. But the breaks and kind of end of academic year do tend to be the most popular.
But you're like, yay, somebody wants to travel in the fall.
Right, exactly.
That would be awesome. I can totally see that. And we typically, that would probably be when we would travel to is, either March or possibly December. We have done study abroad trips like right before the, before Christmas. And then at the end of the spring semester or summer sometime. Actually, I do have some students who've asked me about August, and typically we don't do a lot of travel in August, so that might be a good time as well for us.
Yeah, we've done some programs in August, definitely. So that's a good time, depending on your academic calendar. If you don't go back until early September or even late August, that does leave some time.
Yeah, because our summer semester ends the end of July, and then we have about 3 weeks before students start back in the fall.
So great.
We start back in late August. That might be a good spot for us as well.
Okay. One other thing I wanted to ask you about is, aside from student travel, is there any focus on kind of internationalization, kind of on campus, in the classroom? And
yes, we are very interested in it.
The main reason I ask is because in addition to short-term faculty-led programs over the last couple of years, we've also gotten really involved in the campus internationalization space. So we've developed a lot of learning materials that can be used in the classroom by professors. It's called the 360 Global Learning Experiences, and it's a digital platform where basically we went and filmed in all over the world and filmed short videos and different multimedia similar to what a student would experience on a short-term study abroad program, but all put together onto this digital platform. So if you have business 101 faculty who wants to bring global perspectives into their classroom, they can go onto our platform and find, okay, here's a video about finance in India, about Bitcoin in the EU, and kind of pull those materials into their courses. So that's something that we launched just in January of last year. And it's something I'd be happy to, show you.
Yeah, thank you. I would love that.
Perfect. That sounds wonderful. Did you have any other questions about SAA?
Not right off the top of my head, but if I think of anything, I'll let you know. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like, yeah. I mean, I like the fact that you're small and that you focus with community colleges. Definitely, the affordability aspect is nice to hear. And I do understand that whole thing that you were saying when you first started about we have worked with some or tried to work with some different travel companies, and they don't really customize. They just say, oh yeah, we customize, but it's really, they tried to piggyback us with another college, somewhat like what we were doing, but my professor's like, no, that's not going to work. So yeah, I get that. So that's nice.
Excellent. Well, it was very nice meeting you, Jody. And yeah, thanks for sharing a bit about your college.
Thank you for listening. I hope you got some good information from today's podcast, and you will continue listening to Growing International. If you have any questions, please email me at jlittleton@parkland.edu. I'm always happy to talk to you online, so please send me any questions that you have. Also, I hope you continue listening to this podcast. We are hosted on Podbean, and also we are now on Spotify and Google. So again, thank you so much, and catch you later.